السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والليل إذا يغشى والنهار إذا تجلى وما خلق الذكر والأنثى إن سعيكم لشتى صدق الله العظيم. Ulama-i Kiram, most respected brothers, and also our sisters who listen over the receivers. We are discussing the sifat or the attributes or the qualities of the awliya, of the friends of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then we switched over to a dua of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam last week, which was very relevant to our times. Now this morning in the tilawat of the Quran Sharif, this ayat was recited. So it came into my heart and mind that I should say something about this verse of the Quran Sharif. In Suratul Layl, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He takes three qasams. واللیل اذا یخشا. We know that when the night comes, then it conceals the light of the day. The brightness of the sun, the light of the day, is concealed, it is covered. It does not mean that the sun disappears altogether, that there is no more any existence of the sun. The sun still remains, but the brightness of it is concealed with the darkness of the night. But the sun is still there. It is shining somewhere else, and it will appear again. There's great lesson in this for us. If we have to just make tafsir of this first part of it, we can carry on. That sun is the truth. That sun is haqq. That sun is the message of the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That sun is the ahkam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That sun in all its beauty, that brightness is there. The night has covered the brightness of that sun. There are many, many lessons we can take from this. But just to make it very simple for all of us, or to look into our own lives, that the truth is very bright, the truth is glaring, it is shining, it does not disappear, it will remain for all times until the day of Qiyamah. But we, with our evil actions, our evil deeds, with our evil thoughts, with our evil indulgences, we cover the truth. We cover the truth. Those dark veils of sins, those dark veils of evil, those dark veils of our actions, which are displeasing to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they conceal the brightness of the truth. But if a person is a believer in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and he makes sincere tawbah, sincere repentance, he turns towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he makes rujoo ila Allah, then the darkness will be removed and that sun will shine again in all its glory. It will shine again. But it just depends how long do we want that dark cloud, or how long do we want the darkness to keep the brightness of the sun concealed? That is in our hands. Most of us, we are quite satisfied and quite happy when the darkness covers the brightness. Although there is great hikmat and wisdom of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, in the darkness also there is great wisdom. But I am not discussing that angle. As I said, that there are many, many things. Last week they were complaining this, that there was no sound at the back there. Is it okay? If the sound is not coming through at the back, then you must send a message to the front here, so that they can make some adjustment. Nevertheless, what I was saying is that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala takes the qasam, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَخْشَى. The night when it is concealed, the night when it conceals the brightness of the day. So just this one ishara, it's a Jummah occasion, we don't have plenty of time to go into any detail, but for the intelligent ones, just a little bit of ishara just is sufficient. For the intelligent person, just an ishara, just a sign, just a little pointer, indicator is sufficient to understand. So the angle that I was discussing is this, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's Qur'an Sharif, the noor and the light of the Qur'an Sharif, the noor and the light of the teachings of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the noor and the light of all the a'mal, of all the deeds which are pleasing to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that light is still there. The noor and the light of truth is still there. It does not disappear for all times. It's not that we can conceal it forever and ever. We must not think, or the batil forces, the forces of evil must not think that they have suppressed the truth for all times and therefore it will never come to the fore again. That noor and that light is there. It's just that our actions, our deeds, and the darkness of our sins and the darkness of our evil actions has concealed it for some time. But for the believers, if they repent and they turn towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then that brightness will be there again, just as the sun shines again the next morning. وَن نَهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى. And the sun, when it shines in all its glory, in the bright daylight. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is taking qasam of that. As I explained, that there are benefits in both, in night and day. There has to be night, there has to be day. If it's night all the time, then too there is great amount of problem and there will be chaos. And if it's daylight all the time, then too there will be great problems. So that is a different angle that we can discuss, but I'm not going in that. That what are the benefits? And it does not mean that all the time that we are discussing about night, it only means evils. So we must not misunderstand. But then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and this is the point that I want to bring across, إِنَّ سَعْيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى. By way of explanation, that when a person gets up in the morning, the person immediately engages his mind in wanting to do something for the day. Every person who gets up in the morning, he engages himself in something or the other. His mind will not lie idle. There will be some thoughts that will come into that mind. And the efforts of the people also will be diverse. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, your efforts, your striving is in diverse directions, different directions. Some people, they will engage their mind, their heart, their soul, their bodies. They will engage it in those actions. They will engage it in those deeds which will bring them benefit and profit. One hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the mafhum of that is that the person, when he gets up in the morning, he engages himself in some kind of business. He engages his nafs in some kind of business. And then by way of explanation, that business is this, that sometimes that business will bring that person benefit, it will bring that person profit, it will bring that person dividends. As we all look forward to dividends on our investments, and we keep on following the stock market, what is happening there? Are we going to get more dividends or has it gone down? Profits have gone up or have they gone down? So like that, this person, when he's engaging himself in some kind of business, with his actions now, that is his business, then those very actions of his now become the means of his getting everlasting bliss and happiness and joy in the akhirat. And sometimes it is that same business, those evil actions of his, which will take him to the fire of Jahannam. Therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, after that, I'm just giving you the very gist of it. After that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala talks about the two groups. There are many, many actions that Allah ta'ala could have mentioned. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. Allah ta'ala divides mankind into two groups. And from amongst those two groups, the first group that Allah ta'ala says, that those people who gave, charities, or they are believers, they gave their zakats, they gave sadaqat, they were spending out of that which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had blessed them with. And especially in our times, we know that what are the requirements of mankind. Look at the disasters that are striking every way in the world. How much of help and assistance is required and needed. Sharia doesn't stop us from making use of the wealth for ourselves, for our benefit, for the benefit of our families, and for providing some comfort for ourselves. Sharia doesn't stop us. But from that wealth to spend for the needs of the poor, the destitute, the orphans, the widows, the refugees, those who were at one time rich, but because of disasters, they became poverty stricken. Those who used to give zakat, those who used to be giving charities, but they end up as refugees and they have to start accepting charities. So it becomes the duty of those whom Allah Ta'ala has provided to give out of that. So Allah Ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى. And one of the sifats of the awliya, which I was discussing, is وَبِيَدِهِ أَطَى. And in their hands there is that giving. That is one of the sifats. A person cannot become a wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala until and unless he gives of that which Allah ta'ala has blessed him with. Some people, if they have got no wealth at all, they've got no wealth, they've got patched clothes and they're living in huts, but Allah ta'ala has blessed them with knowledge so they can impart that knowledge. Allah ta'ala has given them some other expertise, they can make use of that expertise and give the benefit of that to some others. Somebody might be having nothing in his pocket, but is very fit, very healthy, very strong. So this person can even use that bodily strength of his to go and help and assist somebody. There are so many people requiring the assistance, physical assistance. So nobody can say that I don't have anything from which to give. The sifat of a mu'min is to give. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى. But immediately after that, وَاتَّقَى. And the person feared Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This taqwa is the essential ingredient of all amal. If somebody has to ask us what is the khulasa of the Quran Sharif, that if the whole Quran Sharif, if a person has to recite, and somebody asks that what is, in one word, just in one word, we want the meaning of the Quran Sharif. That why was the Quran Sharif revealed? Tell us in one word. So that one word will be taqwa. The Quran Sharif was revealed so that we become muttaqeen. Then we can expand again and it can go on and on. It will cover every aspect of a person's life. His namaz, his roza, his zakat, his hajj, his relationship with his wife, with his children, with his family members, with the society, with the Muslims, with the non-Muslims, his dealing, his trade, his transactions, his every way, this, there will be a need for this taqwa. That the person must deal conscious of the fact that his Allah is watching him. He must have the sifat of ihsan in him. أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِن لَّمْ تَكُن تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. The person worships Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in such a way as if he is actually seeing Allah ta'ala with his own eyes. But if he cannot gain that degree, then at least that his Allah is watching him. And this sifat of ihsan must be in every ibadat of his, not only in namaz, not only in roza and zakat, but even in his business he must be aware that my Allah is watching. If I am going to transact fraudulently, if I am going to cheat, if I am going to be deceptive, then I can get away in this world, but there is a hereafter. There is a day of judgment. And not only that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not even allow that wealth to remain in that person or his family all the time. Because of those fraudulent deals, the good wealth is taken away. The bad takes away the good also. It destroys the good. Nevertheless, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَالتَّقَى. So the person has got taqwa. He's got a life of purity. He's got a life of khawf of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not the fear of some lion or some wolf or some cheetah, or that Allah ta'ala is just waiting there to devour us or to destroy us. Allah ta'ala is really loving, is really caring, is compassionate, is merciful, is so kind, is so forgiving, is so tolerant, that in spite of all the sins that we commit day and night, look at the amount of food he gives us to eat. Look at the clothes he gives us to wear. Look at the modes of transport that he gives us to travel around. The person is a fasiq to the last degree. He is using that very car to go to the cinemas, to the theaters, to the discos. He is taking it to the prostitute quarters. He is going to all the haram dens. He is using that same wealth and he is purchasing tickets and he is going to all the haram places. But still Allah Ta'ala is providing him with food, with drink, with shelter. Where can we find an Allah who is so tolerant? So Allah Ta'ala is very tolerant. So that fear that we are talking about is that fear of his displeasure. That how long are we going to play with this mercy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala is very tolerant. But then read the Quran Sharif and see what Allah Ta'ala says. When you become persistent in sins, then what happens? Finally the day comes when that carpet is pulled from beneath the feet. And then the person meets up with his doom. And then he makes hi, but it's too late. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala very lovingly he is telling us that those people who have got a hand that is giving, a heart that is giving, and those people who are muttaqi, they've got taqwa in their lives, they've got piety in their lives, they've got God fear in their lives. And then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى. And Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that this husna here means Islam or Iman, kalima la ilaha illallah. That means they testify to the truth, they testify to the best, and that is the kalima la ilaha illallah. That means they believe in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. They practice Islam. They don't just believe in Islam. Iman is of the heart and Islam is in actions. So they practice. Islam is a way of life. It must be seen in our actions, in our deeds. Throughout the world today, there's such humiliation and disgrace that we are suffering. Why? Because of the actions of Muslims. We who are Muslims, the non-Muslim world is looking at our actions. And they say, if this is Islam, then we want to have nothing to do with this kind of Islam. Go to those hostages and their families now. Those little children who were taken, and all those who are justifying it, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give them hidayat. In no deen and no religion can there be any justification for such kind of hostage taking of little children. We have Muslim schools here. What if a few trucks with arms have to enter those schools and take all the children hostage and all the teachers and the parents also were there? And after that they say that we are doing this because we want those South African brothers of ours who are arrested and they are in Pakistan, that the Pakistani government must release them. Can anybody justify that? Will anybody justify that? So they are also children. Now go and ask those parents to accept Islam. Tell them that you must accept Islam. We don't deny the injustices that have been done by the Russian government. It's unreal. It makes our hair stand on end. It makes us cry the way that our children have been treated, our women have been treated, how their homes have been bulldozed, how they have been tortured and how they have been persecuted, if we have to read those stories or listen from them, then we won't be able to sleep. But then two wrongs don't make a right. So people are looking at our actions around the world, our actions, the actions of the Muslims they are looking at. And then they say, if this is Islam, then we want to have nothing to do with this kind of Islam. Now we have to go to the press, we have to go to the media, we have to go everywhere and try and explain that no, that is not Islam. Islam is what is in the Quran, what is in the hadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is in the books in which beautiful akhlaq and character and moral teachings and of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have been mentioned. So that is where Islam is. So if you want Islam, then you must go to the books. Don't look at the fraudulent deals of the Muslims. Don't look at the Muslims that are going to prostitute quarters, going to the discos, to the rave clubs. Don't look at the Muslims that are murdering, killing without justification. Don't look at those Muslims who are abusing their wives, their children, their neighbors. Don't look at those Muslims who use vulgar language, who swear, who curse. Don't look at those Muslims who are dealing in their businesses fraudulently, or they are cheating and deceiving. Don't look at them. If you want Islam, then go to the books. That is our condition. Whereas in the lives of the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, you could have told anybody and everybody that if you want Islam, then look at any companion of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ashabi kan nujum ayyihi miqtadaytum ihtadaytum. My sahabas are like the guiding stars. Whichever one of them you choose for your hidayat and your guidance, you will get guidance. Today we have to tell, be careful of that Muslim. Beware. Don't trade with that Muslim. Beware. Don't give your daughter to that Muslim. Beware. Don't get your son married to that Muslim girl. Why? Because of this reason or that reason. Ha! What have we done to Islam? That beautiful image of Islam, we have destroyed it. So it is easy worrying about the whole world. By worrying also I mean just passing some comments. Something that we will not be able to do. We cannot change the situation. We cannot change the governments in the Middle East or anywhere else. We cannot change anything around the world. It is necessary that we must make some input in whichever corridor that we can. But we are forgetting this body of ours. We are forgetting this government which we can change, and that is that government within ourselves. That government we can change. If we have gone off track, then we can come back on track. So that first group only, that too we didn't discuss in detail, but that is that group that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that we make it easy for them. By way of explanation again, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for such type of people makes actions very, very easy. They will in their lives have such actions which will then take them to Jannat and give them comfort, give them peace, give them everlasting joy and happiness and bliss. And in Jannat then they will get the ni'mats which you have heard 1001 times now. مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. That which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and the thought also didn't cross any person's mind. Allah Ta'ala wants to give us that. He is very merciful, compassionate, loving. And He wants each and every person to go and enjoy that bliss. So that person who will have these three qualities in him, that he will be the giving one, he will have taqwa in his life, and the person will be practicing on Islam and Iman, then Allah Ta'ala says we will make it easy. Inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives life, health and another opportunity, then we will discuss further. But let us make dua that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us hidayat and give the people of the world hidayat, and Allah Ta'ala must remove the difficulties, the hardships, the tests, the trials and the problems of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah Ta'ala must give us such actions in our lives that when people deal with us, they see us, they trade with us, they marry, or in whichever way they come close to us, then they see the beautiful teachings of Islam in our lives, and we become an attraction. They become like the moth that comes and burns over that lamp. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ